Welcome to another edition of Molly and Pete Save Everything. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is a podcast where we used to just talk about Hallmark Christmas movies, but we tried to watch a Hallmark Christmas movie in July and we were bored with it. So now this is a podcast just about everything. Right?
Yeah.
As we know, it's Lollapalooza weekend. If you spent any time downtown, you know this because you see the throngs of people everywhere.
Coming to this to WGN, I had to wade through it. And everyone just has their Lollapalooza costume
right.
on. And lots of, yeah, like girls still looking boho. Like still, these Lollapalooza costumes have not changed in 10 years.
Yeah. I've noticed yesterday I worked late and then I took the train just as Lollapalooza was letting out. So the train was packed and I had to wait for four trains to go by before I can squeeze on one. Mm-hmm. And every person that I was around had glitter on their face.
When we were at Pitchfork a couple weeks ago and there was glitter, mm-hmm. and I was like, who's the glitter band here?
Yeah, I think every band at Lollapalooza is glitter. I mean,
is a glitter band.
Yeah, I think so. And I noticed the fanny packs.
On the one arm slung over.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
that was the trend at Pitchfork.
That was the trend.
Like one person did it and everybody else copied. Well, there's still a lot of dudes wearing the basketball jerseys. I know mm-hmm. Justin Kaufman always talks about this.
Yeah.
So I was seeing the basketball jerseys, and they also wear bandanas around their head too. Mm-hmm. That's the other look. But I sent you a photo. I'll post it on Instagram of a kid in front of me wearing a Spin Doctors, Gin Blossoms, and Cracker concert T-shirts in like 1994 tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that ironic?
Was it from his grandparents' closet?
I will say, though, yesterday I was mixed emotions because part of me, I was leaving work and I was like, oh, my God, I hate all these people. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to walk. They're all drunk and high. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of me was like, you know what? They're just kids. They're having fun. This is what I would be doing. You know, like there's no difference. They're just they're out having fun, enjoying the Strokes.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, define. And then
are the Strokes playing, or is that just like the band you thought of?
No, they played last night. Oh. They were like the headliner last night.
We were at work. We were talking about just being annoyed with being down here during Lollapalooza. And my assistant mentioned that, like, you know, everybody's really young. And she's like 26 and they feel really young to her. And they're all drunk. And she's like, how are they drunk? And I was like, don't they go to Grant Park? Don't they always, like, say stories about how they go to Grant Park before the festival and bury bottles?
Do they still then bury the bottles in the park?
Was that ever even a thing? Is that just like an urban legend?
Oh yeah, remember that?
I definitely felt old knowing that.
The week before, you'd go to the park and bury your Jack Daniels bottle and just buy Cokes at the fest.
Are the kids doing that?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, I'm walking home. I'm like, irritated. I'm like, oh, get out of my way. I hate the kid, these children. So I'm walking by the Chicago Theater, actually like on Lake Street. And on Lake Street, just before you get to State Street, that's usually where they park the tour buses and whatnot. And they have a section always blocked off, and that's where fans kind of gather. So when the artist who's playing at the Chicago Theater comes off the stage and goes into the tour bus, they can mingle with their fans. So I'm irritated by all these kids. And then I walk by the Chicago Theater, the side, and there's like 40 old dudes waiting in a line. And the first like five people had stacks of records.
Oh my gosh.
8-10 records.
Oh my gosh.
Waiting for Brian Ferry to come out and sign their stuff. And I was like, this is way worse than anybody that's at Lollapalooza. Like, what kind of grown adult would wait for Brian Ferry to come sign their
Well, I just
for
Brian Ferry with the dork that comes up to him with 10 records to sign.
And does he sign the same? Or does he, can you sign one this for Rob, this one for Tom? Or does he say, like, to sign it to me, all 10 of them?
I've just never been into autographs. I just don't really like, sometimes like if you get a book signed by an author and they write something clever, like I like that. I feel like mm-hmm. that's special.
Yeah.
But just like getting
somebody to signature their like Brian Ferry signature on a Roxy Music record. And does Brian Ferry do that? He seems too cool to wade outside the nerds waiting for him to sign an album. Ugh.
It's a tough life.
Last week, we went to Wicker Park Festival, which is, you know, one of the many street festivals here. It seems each week there's a new, a new street is blocked off where people can eat meat on a public way. And we went to it because a band that I like was playing at the perfect time for any concert, 4:45 in the afternoon. All concerts should be at 4:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah, we never, like, there's all these, like, Lollapalooza after shows. Like, we were watching a video of, like, Death Cab for Cutie that looked fun and playing like a small venue, and other people from bands were there, but it started at 9.
No, I think it started at 11.
Doors were at 9. Yeah. I was thinking, like, they probably didn't go on until 11 or 12. Yeah. No, I can't do that. No.
I remember we went to a Pitchfork after show.
Yeah.
I can't remember who played, but Hannibal Buress, the comedian, was on.
And we were falling asleep.
I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
Can't go,
because we sat in seats, of course.
It was really comfortable. So yeah, we both were dozed. We both dozed off. Romance. So the thing that stood out mostly about the seeing the show at 4:45, again, the perfect time to see any rock concert.
It's what makes street festivals worth anything.
Yeah, you can see a band that you like in when it's light out. And there's, like, between bands, there's some music playing, and there's people hanging out of the front of the stage, but, you know, not a big crowd or anything like that.
When it was, like, super loud, like, EDM music, crazy loud, like, if we were in, like, a hostage situation or something, and they were trying to, like, play something to make us leave the house. Or make our kidnappers or whatever leave the house.
Yeah, this is what
they would play.
So, yeah, it's torture.
It was torture.
Torture people.
Yeah.
So most people were a little bit away from the stage. So I don't know. There was like 20 or 30 people just kind of milling about waiting for the band to start. And when we noticed a group of 4 or 5 people.
Randos.
And were they dudes?
There was a girl.
There was
three. It was 4 people, 3 dudes and a girl.
In their circle, playing hacky sack.
In the middle of everything.
In the middle of the street, as people are trying to go get up to the band.
Taking up a lot of space.
And, might I mention, horrible at hacky sack.
Like, one kick and it's down. Done, like, every time, just one and done.
It wasn't even exciting to watch it. Oh, my God, look at how, it's 30 volleys or whatever they call it. And then the band comes on and starts playing, and then the more people start coming in to see the band because, you know, the music's playing. And so it's starting to fill in a lot, and the people are just still hacky-sacky-ing. Is that it? Was that how you say hacky-sacky-ing?
Hacky-sacking.
Hacky-sacking. Yeah. Like, no consideration for what, like, they are oblivious to there's a band playing, there's fans there that came specifically for this band, and they're hacky-sacking.
Yeah. So it eventually did end, and they said their goodbyes to each other, and they were like, oh, yeah, this is really great. You know, they, like, none of them knew each other. Just how did this form? So this makes us think, is hacky sack a thing?
Yeah, this is
again?
A new segment. We're going to break in a new
so
segment.
So is this a thing? So how will people let us know if this is a thing or not?
They can email you. No, I don't know. They can tell us via Twitter.
Molly at MollyandPeteSaveEverything.com.
Yeah, we'll have to figure those details out later. So, yeah, so we were wondering, is hacky sack still a thing?
Because then we had another friend who was at the show, too, standing in a different spot. And on her Instagram stories, she posted somebody playing hacky sack, a different person playing hacky sack. So this led us to believe this might be a thing.
So I did some research, went to the Wikipedia page for hacky sack. And first thing that comes up, it says hacky sack. And then it says, for the basketball strategy, see Hack-a-Shack. Not to be confused with Hack-and-Sack. So hacky sack is a typical freestyle foot bag. A foot bag is a term for a small round bag filled with dry grain, e.g. rice, or sand, which is kicked into the air as part of a competitive game or as a display of dexterity. Hacky sack is the name of a brand of foot bag popular in the 1970s.
Wow.
It's currently owned by Wham-O, which has since become a generic trademark. So as I'm researching these things, look up the history about when it started, and it dates back a long way, but then it pretty much stops in the 70s, and then it picks up a little bit
in the 90s?
In the 80s and 90s. Uh-huh. And then I couldn't find anything else about Hacky Sack. I clicked on news about Hacky Sack, and it was all about like Tiger Woods commercial from 20 years ago when he Hacky Sack.
Well, I mean, I think we'll know if we never see it again that it wasn't a thing.
So then I was looking up the Guinness Book of World Records. All the records are 1997, 1995. Mm-hmm.
The real Hacky Sack
1995,
heyday.
1998. Did you know that the men's single footbag, Chris Crepo, he kicked a total of 77,842 times. His total time was 8 hours and 22 minutes.
Gosh.
Those guys with their one hit. I think we should vote first, and then people can tell us via Twitter.
Okay.
At Peter Zim, at La Familia Green, if Hacky Sack is a thing. So, Molly, is Hacky Sack still a thing?
I think no. I think it was an isolated incident.
Just the one person?
Yeah. And just a coincidence that there were two people right there doing it.
I am also going to vote no.
I would say that, I mean, like, if this is just an extension of 90s nostalgia being trendy.
Could be on the way up.
And it was varying ages. It was an old guy. It was a guy wearing, he looked really uncomfortable. He was wearing, like, a tight shirt and tight jeans, and he had a camera. it was really hot.
Yeah, and jeans, not good for...
No, they didn't have any movement.
Yeah, no movement to your, if you want a hacky sack.
The old dude had just shorts on, no shirt. Kind of like, sort of a hippie young girl, so that kind of fits with it. Okay, now the bigger question is, did hacky sack ever go away? Because there's still like these holdout areas, like where I went to high school in the suburbs. It's like kids driving their hand-me-down Mercedes with Grateful Dead stickers on the back, and that like still goes
it exists.
20 years later, it's still like that. Like there's just these like pockets where it never changes, where there's still nostalgia for that. Lifestyle.
Is it around college campuses? Should I hang around Loyola University? Do some research, just hang around the quad, see if I can see anybody doing
it. Or that
anything.
Area where they have like food trucks by the train or people doing hacky sack?
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if I see it again, I'm going to be like, okay, this is a thing.
Okay,
but I think maybe it just exists in pockets.
Okay, so you vote no.
We were just unfortunately in the middle of one of
I
them.
I vote no. And you can tell us what you think.
Okay.
Are
you seeing hacky sack?
Are you seeing hacky sack? Yeah. And if you want.
And do you live in Chicago? Like, where do you live that you're seeing hacky sack? Are you in Chicago? Are you in the suburbs? Are you not in this area at all?
And if there's any other topic that you want us to delve into, if you're wondering if it's still a thing, you can tell us and we'll do all the research for you.
So we need to do a running update because we ran the Randy Walker 5K on Sunday. And up in Evanston, it was a delightful race. I recommend it to anybody.
It was.
Next year. And I'm not familiar with Randy Walker, but he seemed like a good guy. He had a dog named Magic that he liked to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed very inspiring. And like before, it was just like, I don't know, it was just like a nice group of people. Everything was sort of touching, the speeches and the national anthem before. And you felt like you're part of that community.
Yeah, it was really
a good
nice
race.
So you had a wonderful race. You did your you had a PR.
I did.
It's a personal record.
Yep.
And
I came in second in my age group.
And you won a hat.
I won a hat
and a bag and a Northwestern bag.
And I left the hat on for a long time, and I said it was like in It's a Wonderful Life when Zuzu won't put her flower away.
And then you fell asleep and I put your hat away on the side of the bed. It's a fun race, and I was looking forward to it because you end on the field. You run through the quaint Evanston neighborhoods, and then you end coming in to Ryan Field.
Yeah. And Willie the Wildcat
cheers
you on at the end.
Yeah, but you finished so fast that they didn't even have anything set up.
No, it was a little loose with the, like, it was like they were surprised that a race was happening.
Like, whoa, they're finishing already. Let's play the music.
When, they weren't playing music, they weren't calling out names yet. and you could watch, I've never had this happen in a race before, but you can watch the video of yourself finishing, which is amazing. And so I see myself like coming around the bend, going fast. And then I see myself slow down at the end. I'm like, I can't do that anymore. And then I look at my watch right away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my mom is cheering, but like they didn't have their act together by that point. And then when I found out that I came in second, I'm like, I want, you know, like, is there going to be an award ceremony? They're like, yeah, they will be. You're going to get medals. You just have to wait till after the kids race. And so, and then when another person told me there's an awards tent, but we could never find that. I mean, so we just sat there and waited for a long time. And then I saw people lining up at a tent and getting things, or they had been lining up at a tent getting things. And I went over and they're like, yeah, this is for people who placed in their age groups. And I was like, oh, I came in second. I'm like, are you having an award ceremony?
You asked them if they were having an award ceremony.
Yes. And they're like, no, here's your hat.
Oh, no.
But going back to like coming into the field. So like you start in the parking lot. And so then when you're coming, then it's just a loop and you hit three in the parking lot. And so you still got that point one. So there's the clock from the start. And so I saw my time. I mean, I was watching my time on my watch, but then I saw like the official time. And I was like, oh gosh, I gotta book it to get this time that I wanted. And so but when you go into the field, it's sort of like
you said book it. Yeah, book it. Is that still a thing? That seems like a thing from the 80s.
So it's kind of a narrow, just pedestrian entrance into the field, sort of a sharp turn. Mm-hmm. And there's some guy going really slow in front of me and taking up a lot of space. And I'm like, this dude's in my way. I'm not going to get my time. So I just start yelling, I'm coming. I don't know. I feel like it was polite the way I said it. And also saving me from like hitting him too. And why is he going so slow? We're at the end. And he's like, obviously like,
was he cheating?
One of the first finishers. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to come in on your left. Let me by. I got to win the Randy Walker 5K.
I love that you asked if there was an award ceremony. Like there, it was at the end of Wimbledon when they bring out the whole stage and a bunch of people get in a big circle, all the dignitaries.
And I like the royalty of Evanston makes like small talk to the ball kids. And I bite my medal and I put my Rolex on.
The reason we did this race too is, well, one, it's we live near Evanston, so, and you know, you're training for a marathon, and I found my distance is 3.1 miles and nothing more. You belong to the Glen Glens. Mm-hmm. This is a world renowned running club. And I don't know exactly what the deal is, but apparently if you run these circuit races, of which this Northwestern race mm-hmm. was, you get points mm-hmm. of some sort.
Yep.
I don't know what the points are for. I don't know who we're against. I don't know how they're being tabulated.
These are all good questions.
But I know if there's a Kara circuit race, you have to run it and you get points of some sort.
Yeah.
Can you explain the points?
I can explain the little.
I don't understand. We went, and then I get into it because it's like, oh, point. All right, points. I want points.
Well,
it's been pointed out to
you that your age is valuable to us. Like it's an underrepresented age group. And so you're of more value to us.
But
I'm in a more common age group.
To what end? Like what?
So that we can maybe come in eighth place.
Because like you're against Fleet Feet.
Yeah. So there's 11 teams and we're like a Kara neighborhood running club. Or not, it's not running club, running group. Mm-hmm. And there's different running groups across the city. There's a Logan Square one. There's, I don't know, I guess like Roscoe Village. There's mm-hmm. Lincoln Park. There's different running groups that are affiliated with Kara. And so then Kara has these circuit races that are, maybe there's
Kara
like,
is the Chicago Area Runners Association.
Right, which is a nonprofit that takes care of the running path mm-hmm. and runners. And it's who I'm training with for the marathon. And so they have these circuit races, like maybe a race every month. We did one in July. We did the Soldier Field 10 miler was one of them. The marathon is one. So we are on the circuit in that we get these points. But we're up against some really big team. So we've kind of realized, like, we're not going to win it. So we're up against these sort of like elite teams. So we're going to be the best of the bottom half of it.
Because you have, it's like the Elmhurst Running Club, the Evanston Running Club.
Oak Park.
Fleet Feet, Oak Park.
So it's big clubs. I mean, there's like, we're just a little neighborhood. We're small and mighty. We're just a little neighborhood group. But we're determined.
Yeah, and you have...
And we have a strong leader that pushes us to get points.
And you have a ton of really good runners.
Yeah. But I don't... And we like one of my friends, she's going to maybe place in her age group by the end. Overall, women's times, we're like in a good spot. So...
So when the season ends, whenever that is... Mm-hmm. What happens?
I think there's medals.
Are there medals?
Well,
is there an award ceremony?
I'm both unclear on what points lead to. And so, I mean, pride is at stake, too. But I'm
okay.
I'm unclear what points lead to, and I'm unclear how you get points, too.
So why am I obsessed with these points? You've gotten me obsessed with these points.
It's something to run for. You feel like you're part of something else. Like, these fools are just out here running for, like, fun? They're not getting points for this?
Because there's another one in August 11th. Mm-hmm. It's like the Big Ten 10K, which I don't really want to do.
No, it's something I would never want. No, that sounds like a nightmare to me.
For you, it's fine because you run 6 miles like it's nothing.
Oh, I was just thinking doing like a Big Ten race on it.
But it's part of the Kara circuit. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to train for a 10K. We got to get points. That's all I'm thinking about is getting these points for what?
And I was like, all right, let's chill for a minute. There's other running I need to be doing. We're all going to be okay. But we don't have these points.
And so, I mean, and the Glen Glens, and I'm not even really a part of the Glen Glens.
Yes, you are. You're on our team. You don't run with us.
I don't run.
You deal with us a lot.
you get up in the morning, you run, and I realize that at the Glen Glens, the running club it's like 3%.
Running group,
is like 3% running and 97% talking about it.
That might be true. All the talking about other things, too. So we're kind of crime fighters or mystery solvers.
Yeah.
Or we caught a marathon cheater earlier this year. And some of you might know we get eggplants dropped off at our house, and we're on the case for that. We just had a new one this week.
Yeah.
We were really excited because Pete's Pizza nearby was shut down, and it was a big pizza scandal in Edgewater. And we were like, oh, we got to figure this out. Well, turns out it was just they hadn't paid their state taxes.
Oh, is that what it was?
Back up. It was real, we were really bummed today that's all that happened. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a serious thing, I guess.
There's actually one of the Glen Glenners, her husband is a police officer. We don't need him. We're just doing this on our own. Oh. But it's nice to know we have him if we need him.
Sorry, Chief. I can't go. I do my duty. I got to work on this Glen Glens project.
I've got to go dust for fingerprints on this eggplant.
Like, most of the time, you're up and home before I'm even... You've run your 15 miles or whatever before I'm even up. So I don't deal with any of the running. I just deal with the aftermath of the running, the talking about the points, talking about the pace, about the
plans for the next day, who's running. But then it's also just like what is happening that day, too.
But it's a good group.
We're friends.
You are friends. And I do feel, although I don't run with you, I do feel like I am an honorary Glen Glen.
Well, I'm really thankful for them. I used to always run alone, and now I'm running with people. And I mean, one reason I ran alone is because I was trying to run hard and fast, and it's hard to find somebody who's willing to do that with you.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful to have that and to be challenged in that way. And then it's also, when you're an adult, it's hard to, like, make new friends, too.
Yeah.
So I really am thankful for that.
I've made a new friend since 1991. Or no, I did. Matthew was my new friend, but
it was forced upon me
in a radio bit.
Well, we made dogs have led us to new friends.
That's true. Yeah.
So. So I guess you just sort of like you find your lane, and whoever else is like into that thing, then you join together that way and become friends.
And one of the Glen Glens has helped us on our. Recently, we've become vegan.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a vegetarian for most of your adult life. I've been a vegetarian for, 8 years or so. But then recently I just started reading tons and stuff about, dairy. And I was like, we don't eat
feeling
that.
Guilty about it.
Yeah, I was just feeling guilty about what the treatment, and I was like, this is cruelty. We need to try to end dairy in our lives as well. And one of the Glenn's is also a vegan, so she's kind of helped you
it's
out.
It's nice to have a resource. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been
experience.
We've been practicing veganism for
since the beginning of June.
And your parents are very supportive of you.
But I had to come out to them as a vegan. I was very stressed about it. They're very supportive, but then I just, so there's sometimes there's what we feel like is vegan shaming, and we're putting it on ourselves. So you just kind of feel extra when you go, like this week we went out to dinner and I was ordering rice and I asked like what it was cooked in, because sometimes rice is cooked in chicken stock, and the waitress looked at me like that was the craziest thing she's ever heard. And when you go somewhere that's not super vegan friendly, you have to, which is a lot of places, even when things are vegetarian, they're far from being vegan, and you have to like be complicated about things, or we feel like we are. And so we try to, like, I'm sorry, or like, oh, I'm vegan, so this is going to be, you know, I mean, a lot of places you go now have vegan things, or they say, like, are there any allergies, and they can direct you. But we feel shame.
There's a certain shame that it's attached to it.
And so I kind of felt like I didn't want to be extra, like, I'm already with, like, my family who are not, you know, who eat everything.
They're eaters.
Omnivores. I already make things complicated, and I didn't want to seem like they think I don't eat anything anyway. So,
like when we go over there for Thanksgiving, that your mom puts out a tremendous spread, so like cheese enchiladas.
Yeah,
they do a great job of.
Well, I
of helping us be vegetarians.
Yeah. I mean, I was vegetarian, but I also had like some other dietary restrictions, and so everything, I don't know, was always just felt complicated. I'm like, oh, I'm adding another level, adding another layer of complications to this. So I felt like, yeah, I had to come out to them as vegan, and they were very accepting, very supportive of their child. And
I'm very proud of you, Lovey, for coming out.
Thank you.
I know it takes a lot, and it's great that your parents are so supportive of your desires to not eat meat or dairy.
We were even hesitant to talk about it here because...
Yeah, nobody wants to
hear
about it.
We're so annoying. We just talk about cats running and being vegan.
But, you know, there's some people that are annoying. Any chance they can get, they're going to bring up their vegan. Mm-hmm. Or any chance, I'm too good. I don't eat meat or whatever. Yeah.
We want to be good examples. We wish more people... I mean, more and more people are, and it's becoming a lot easier. We wish more people were, but... Yeah, like we've had some like defeating moments where we go and we can't, there's like nothing that we can eat. And so you decide like, okay, am I going to bend the rules, or do we just like sadly leave? And we've had some sad meals or left.
Yeah. The big issue for me was, I mean, I used to have an egg every day. I used to have string cheese and such. And I don't miss any of that. But the thing that was really hard for me was finding the perfect creamer to put in my coffee.
Yes.
Have you heard about this? So after much experimentation with various half and halves, creams, sweetener of such, we finally found the gold mine.
Yep.
the Target almond milk creamer sweetener. And I cannot get enough. I go through like 4 bottles a week in this. It's like I'm a druggie or something.
Well, I was concerned about the amount of sugar it had. So I was looking at the label and I was like, you know, there's 64 servings in this.
Just like, week.
They must be 64 drops because
it's not that big of a bottle.
No,
but
I can't imagine getting 64 of anything out of that bottle.
I feel like it might be one of the Seinfeld fat-free yogurt. I feel like there's dairy in here somehow.
it's too good. I wish you remember like there was that thing a few years ago where they like pictograms or something, like where you could take words that you used maybe in Facebook and it would show like the word you used the most.
Word cloud
was,
or
a
something.
Word cloud. That's what it was. Yeah. Word cloud. Yours would be creamer. or almond milk creamer.
I do talk about it a lot. I don't talk about it anymore because we've
Yeah, but you're always needing more of it.
Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of
never enough.
I kind of even like embarrassed about how much I use. So I'll go on the sly. You'll go grocery shopping, and then like I'll sneak a trip to Target and get one because I don't want you to know how much cream I'm taking
in. Shame. I find all these like empty bottles in your closet in your office.
It's so good. If you're thinking about getting rid of dairy, may I recommend?
Silk. I think right, Silk.
Silk. Yeah. Almond milk creamer or whatever. It's it's so good.
Well, speaking of groceries, one thing we noticed that came up that we're like, what should we talk about in the podcast? This is a real interesting one. When you go to the grocery store and you're there's no bagger and your groceries are like piling up, do you help the checker bag the groceries?
Mm-hmm. I'm always uncomfortable in that situation because I don't know what is the proper play. It's piling up. I see that the empty bag is right there. Should I just like go and help him out? Or is the person going to be mad at me for, that's my bag. Give me that. You know, I know how to do it. Yeah. He's a professional.
Are you insulting them or do they appreciate it?
Yeah. The last time we went, there wasn't a big line behind us. And I feel like maybe if the line was kind of building up and just to, expedite things, he'd appreciate the help. But I just never know. I can I kind of look at the person to see if he gives me a nod or something. Like, go ahead. You can do it.
Also let us know on Twitter.
When you're at the checkout and there's groceries piling up and your bag is laying flat there being unused, do you actually pick it up and start bagging your own groceries? You think like, yes, of course you do.
Sometimes they're like annoyed that you're doing it wrong.
Right. Oh my, did you see him put the fruit at the bottom? What an idiot. I feel like they're talking about when they leave, they're making fun of you for bagging improperly. Yeah. So yeah, let us know if...
or if you work at a grocery store, you've got some insider.
Oh yeah, they tell the real stories. So yeah, let us know if you think it's okay to bag your own groceries when there's nobody there to help you out.
All right, we have just a couple other things we want to get to. And one this week was that here at WGN, they did headshots. Mm-hmm. And maybe like last week.
Last week, yeah.
And so you got the proofs back. And they sent you everything. They didn't just send you the good ones. They sent the good and the bad ones.
A couple of weeks ago, we get an email from the marketing promotions team that like, hey, 12:45 next Tuesday, we're going to do your headshots. I'm like, headshots? What do I need headshots for? It seems silly. Like, do I need headshots? I'm like, all right, sure. I'll get my picture taken. And I was kind of nervous about it because... as you know, I'm not a good picture taker. I have a weird face.
No, you don't have a weird face. You make a weird face.
Like, I don't know how to smile correctly. Like, I don't have...
it's like my advice for cat fosters that I work with is take a lot of photos. It's the same with you. Take a lot of photos and you'll have a good one.
Eventually one will come. Yeah, because I don't feel comfortable getting my picture taken. I don't have a go-to look. So I was excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get these professional headshots. Next time I try out to be a model, we'll have them at the ready. So,
or if you need, if you go to like a diner or the dry cleaner or something and they want to put your 8x10 up,
yeah, like Steve Dolinsky's in every restaurant,
yeah,
or we should just start taping them up to restaurants that we like. And so, yeah, I was excited. So, we take the pictures, and the way we did it back in the performance studio at WGN. So, I was uncomfortable. There was like four people, I had makeup, like they did makeup, turn left, turn right, lift your leg up. I'm like, oh, I can barely lift
this
my
leg. This is my favorite.
There's a photo of me really struggling. You can see like my neck muscles or my neck.
Don't you know I'm a 5K runner? I don't have any flexibility left.
Oh, I'm trying to lift my... So we get the Tabitha in the marketing department. She sends over. She's like, hey, I got your headshots. I'm like, oh, this is great. I looked through the first 10 of them and my eyes are closed in every single one.
They're
of
so
them.
Funny. I couldn't, I was laughing so hard.
I mean, I'm like, don't you, I mean, did she just like take them and like send them? Like I was thinking that perhaps maybe she would look through them, edit them, and maybe send me the three best ones. But
you got all the outtakes.
I got like
the bloopers.
I got a huge blooper reel. Most of them, my eyes are closed. Or I'm making some sort of karate chop move.
Or you have a weird smile.
I think there's like two that I would be okay showing to the public.
Yeah.
So on Instagram this week, I made a joke. I took the best three of my, with me with my eyes closed.
And we thought it was hilarious. We thought these are terrible photos. This is hilarious.
Right. I'm so grateful that I got the bad photos. Because what am I going to do with the,
But you got great Instagram stories.
So I went to my Instagram and I was like, help me decide my new headshot. People got to vote between the three ones, and there was the third one, which was particularly bad. I'm kind of like posing, you know, with my eyes closed, and so that pretty much won. And so this week I ran into Elif, who produces John Williams' show, and she was asking me about the headshots because she was on vacation, so she missed them. She's getting hers like next week, and she's like, "What was with those pictures?" And I was like, "What? Like, my eyes were closed?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I didn't vote because I wasn't sure if like you had surgery."
So now we're worried about. Who else was just concerned about you and thought these were, like, legitimate photos?
I mean, because I'm sure there's people on Instagram that don't really know me. Maybe that's how they think I look. I don't know. But anyway, so I thought it was funny that Elif asked me if I had surgery. She didn't want to vote because she was afraid to offend me because she thought I might have had surgery on my face of some sort. But as it turns out, I have two really fine pictures.
You make trading cards. All right, so we have to wrap up with a next door update.
That's right. If you've been on the internet in the past couple of years, you know that there's these neighborhood groups, Nextdoor, and on Facebook, you know, there's various
friends of
what city you live in, what neighborhood you live in. We live in Edgewater, but we belong to
Rogers Park adjacent.
Yeah. And so we're in the Rogers Park neighborhood group. So the first one I noticed that I liked was, warning, uh-oh, what's going on? Baby skunk spotted on Pratt, headed towards Ashland. Oh, all right. What are you telling people? You need to kidnap it? If you're walking that way, there's a...
Keep your dogs away.
Keep your dogs away, I guess. But then Connie Abels, a realtor, she commented. She said, baby skunks do not spray. I had three of them living in my bedroom closet when I was a kid for a month till my stepfather found them.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
I used to feed them milk from my baby sister's doll bottle.
This is the best story I've ever heard.
I didn't know any better at 14 years old, but they never sprayed.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much.
Our realtor used to feed baby skunks.
An experience. I'm glad she's our realtor. That's who I want to be in business with.
A classic. I came home today. My best kitty is missing from a locked apartment. His name is Stella. He's 11 years old. He's the sweetest, most loving member of the family. He lives on Columbia Avenue near the 400 Theater off Sheridan Road. Please message me if you have seen him. And these are horrible.
Yeah, no, like we said last week, it's all lost cats.
And we've had an instance where...
Or found cats.
We lost our cat.
Yeah.
I mean, for 5 minutes, you know, and it's like, oh my God, you're never going to see this cat. Yeah, it just like throws you for a loop. But then, you know, you read 10 minutes later. It's like, great news, although a bit embarrassing. You know, the dog kind of freaked out the cat and the cat hid, but
this is how it always turns out.
And most of the people I comment were like, did you check under the bed? You know, it's like, oh, come on. But yeah, 90% of them lost cats. Yeah. So we're thankful that Stella was found. To whom it may concern, I've left your keys and vape in a tree off lunch just on the corner of Western. So somebody lost keys and a vape. This person. Does anyone know the name of the new witch store? It's opening near Morse. It's a witch store? What does that mean?
I don't know. Like an occult store, but I like just calling it a witch store.
Yeah. I don't know. So apparently there's a new witch store.
I'd rather have that than a cell phone store. So.
Yeah, or a vape store.
Or a vape store, yeah.
And finally, my friend found a parrot in front of her house by Greenbrier Park on Peterson. They don't know what to do. It jumped onto her shoulder. It is definitely a pet and tame. Wouldn't that be amazing if you're just walking around and a parrot just jumped on your shoulder? Any suggestions? Somebody replies, there's someone posting on the Nextdoor app for their lost bird. Another person. I know I have seen someone walking around with a parrot on their shoulder before.
Yep. Rogers Park.
Another person says, post in the 911 parrot alert. They can help with finding its family. This is a thing that exists. 911 parrot alert. Official. It's the 911 parrot official. Meanwhile, please feel free to let me know if you need advice or resources for taking care of it, identification, etc. Parrots are my passion. I have three of them. Parrots are my passion. That's a person responding to another person. I swear I saw a Jenny Stringer post about a lost parrot not long ago. Or maybe I dreamt it. Oh, you know what? That kind of looks like Sharon Endo's bird. And then this Mary person says, hey, I'll take the bird. Nobody responded. She responds a little bit later. Seriously, I'll take the bird. I have other birds I take care of. And then this other person responds again. He's like, please try to find its actual owner before giving it to some random person on the internet. If I lost any of my birds, I would be absolutely devastated. I've seen so many lost birds in various parrot groups. But a lot of people never get their birds back because some random person decides to keep it or give it away. Please, please don't do that. This person responds to him, I'm not some random person. I have birds. And I'm capable of caring for this bird until the owner comes forward. And then you got your classic, your guy who does bits, mm-hmm. says, what about becoming a pirate?
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. And then this Mary person responds again, no, I want to keep him. And then finally, thank you to everyone who's trying to help. My friend said they believe they have connected with the owner and will be returning the parrot to them. So I was worried about the parrot, but thankfully the parrot found its way back home. All right, so that's another episode of Molly and Pete Save Everything. I am Pete.
I'm Molly.
And if you...
You've got some homework to do, hacky sacks and grocery bagging.
Please tell us. I guess the easiest way to be would be to contact us on Twitter at Peter Zim, at La Familia Green. Is that the easiest way? Should I
just
set up
a... Just say Peter Zim because I never check Twitter.
They could reach you on Instagram.
Yeah, or on if we're Facebook friends.
I'm sure most of you are.
You can just comment under my post when I post this episode.
Oh, yeah. Hacky Sack, groceries, and that's it. If you subscribe, that would be great, and rate us 4 stars or 5 stars. Is it 4 stars?
No, it's 5 stars.
5 stars.
Because on our ratings, it's all 5 stars, except there's one 1-star, but...
Too much parrot talk.
It might be that might have been my mom who accidentally hit. She meant to hit 5, but she accidentally hit 1, and then she like it was like day. It was a long time afterwards. She fessed up to it.
So she also had to come out to you. For some shame. All right. Well, we'll talk to. We don't know when we'll do this next, but probably sometime soon.
I used to know you when we were young. You were in all my dreams. We sat together in period one, Fridays at 8:15. Now I see your face in the strangest places, movies and magazines.